Good morning. Praise the Lord. It's so good to be here today. Pastor John and I are dear, dear friends, and I just come to you out of a love for him and out of a love for you, and it is my sincere heart that I can encourage you from the scriptures today. Where do you turn when you have no hope? Where do you turn when you have no hope? My family right now is going through a very, very deep time of crisis, and I have spent a lot of the last few days in grief. And I will confess to you that yesterday in the evening, I was just lying on my bed, crying my eyes out, not feeling at all like I could get out of bed and do what I'm called to do today. Have you ever felt that way? Have you ever come to the point in your life where you are brokenhearted? Job got to that point in his life. And in Job 17, verse 11, he says this, "My days are past, my plans are torn apart, even the wishes of my heart." My days are past, my plans are torn apart, even the wishes of my heart. Have you ever felt that way? Maybe you feel that way today. Where do we turn when it seems that we have no hope? Would you please open your Bibles to where you were already this morning, to Psalm 130. Psalm 130. Out of the depths I have cried to you, O Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to the voice of my supplications. If you, Lord, should mark iniquities, O Lord, who could stand? But there is forgiveness with you, that you may be feared. I wait for the Lord. My soul does wait, and in his word do I hope. My soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. O Israel, hope in the Lord. For with the Lord there is loving kindness, and with him is abundant redemption. He will redeem Israel from all his iniquities. The Psalms, the book of 176 Psalms is so, 150, excuse me, 150 Psalms is a gift to the church. Amen? It is an opportunity for David or Asaph or some of the other ones to give words to your heart's cry. And when I come to God and my heart is broken, the psalmist puts my heart anguish in words into a prayer. And more than that, the psalmist lifts my eyes off of my own trials on to God. And I want you to know this morning that if you have come here today finding yourself brokenhearted, look at the Psalms. The Psalms will not only give words to your heart's cry. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we are in so much anguish, we have no words. We can't even whisper a prayer. We don't even know what to say to God. The psalmist puts our prayer in words like no other book ever can, but more than that, the psalmist lifts your mind off of your circumstances on to God. And you can look to the Psalms. I'm in a place in my life where I read Psalms every week. I'll read two or three Psalms every single week to consistently lift my heart to God. And if you are finding yourself in a hopeless situation this morning, I give you this beautiful book. I give you this beautiful book from Genesis to Revelation. In it is the truth that we need. You know about the One Hope Project. Where did we get the name One Hope? What is the One Hope Project and where did we get the name? Please open to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you, Ephesians 4. Therefore, I, the prisoner of the Lord, implore you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing tolerance for one another in love, being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body. One body. I feel a deep connection with all of you today because Trinity Baptist Church is one with New Life Community Church. We are one body, but more than that, we are one body with our brothers and sisters on the other side of the world that believe in the same God we do and worship the same Jesus we do and have put their faith in the same Savior that we have. We're one with them. They are our brothers and sisters. And the One Hope Project is simply this. It's a project dedicated to provide a Bible to everyone that wants one. And I'm here to tell you that there is a great demand for Scripture on the other side of the world. A great demand for Scripture on the other side of the world. I have a dear friend who goes to the Palm Desert Town Center with Bibles, and he takes about 100 Bibles. He's a really great guy. He goes there, I think, on Tuesday nights. You can see him there upstairs at the Palm Desert Town Center. He's giving away Scripture. And he'll take about 100 Bibles. And I've done it with him 3 or 4 times. And people will pass on. He says, here's a Bible. Would you like a Bible? And people say, no, thank you. 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 But sometimes people will take the Bible, and sometimes people will even read the Bible, and sometimes people will trust Christ as Savior right there in the mall as my friend is doing it, and he's doing such an awesome work. But I want you to know that if my friend were to go to the Middle East and stand in a mall, say in the city of Tehran, and if he were to have Bibles, he could take 10 million Bibles. And two things would happen. Number one, he would go to jail. But number two, they'd all be gone. Do you realize that in the Middle East, Christians and Muslims are asking for this book? They want to read it. There is a great hunger for the Scriptures on the other side of the world today. And there are Christians just like you and me that have huge, huge earth-shattering problems and they do not have their own copy of God's Word. The Psalms that you and I can open for comfort and peace and strength and salvation, they don't have their own Bible. And the One Hope Project is simply this. It's Trinity Baptist Church and New Life Community coming together to say those Christians and even those other people that are unsaved on the other side of the world that are begging for their own Bible, we want them to have their own Bible. And the One Hope Project is simply this. We're giving them their own Bible. We're sending them their own Bible. Pastor has told you several times, $5 puts a Bible in someone's hand. $5 puts a Bible in someone's hand. There is one body, verse 4, one spirit, just as you were called to one hope. And there is the name right there. One hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. We have one hope. There is only one hope, and that is the gospel. Can you say amen to that? There is only one hope. That is the gospel. And the gospel is in the pages of this book. Amen? The gospel is in the pages of this book. And there are so many Muslims on the other side of the world that want their own Bible. And they open up the scriptures and they read the truth about Jesus for the first time. And they trust Christ as Savior. There are so many people that have become Christians simply by reading the scriptures. And Trinity Baptist and New Life Community are coming together to provide Bibles to everyone in the Middle East that wants their own Bible. We have a special opportunity this year. Pastor, have you told them about this yet, or am I'm the guy. Okay, praise God. We have a special opportunity this year. Pastor and I have done the One Hope Project together for 9 years now. And we raise in between $12,000 and $30,000 every year to send Bibles overseas. This year, something amazing has happened. This year, two anonymous donors have come up to me with an amazing thing. Two anonymous donors. This year and this year only, if Trinity Baptist Church raises $10,000, one donor will match that. And the second donor will do the exact same thing for New Life. John has that wonderful box over there, and that box is, it looks like a Bible. You see it on the table. I think that's my water bottle right there. Forgive me for that, but you see the box there on the table, and I understand from Pastor that you put your donations in that box. You put $10,000 in that box, and there is a donor who will put another $10,000 in, and you can raise $20,000. Now, the same thing will happen at Trinity. If God blesses Trinity and Trinity gives $10,000, then a second donor will also match, and these churches together can raise $40,000 this year. Just these two churches. Now, I've got five or six others that are donating too. We can give 10,000 Bibles this year to people that are wanting them, to people that are asking for them. And I'm asking you to do one simple thing. One simple thing. Sacrifice. Sacrifice. The One Hope Project is not based on one person giving $5,000 or $10,000 or $15,000. The One Hope Project loves the widow's mite. You've read that beautiful scripture in the Gospels when the widow comes up and gives this little tiny piece of money, maybe a penny, maybe less, and Jesus says, she gave more than anybody else because she gives all the rest. Maybe you're here this morning and you only have $5. What a beautiful gift. What a beautiful gift. That $5 will give someone their own scripture. And when they are in their deepest, darkest time in their faith, when that little girl who trusts Christ as Savior, and her father looks at her and says, I do not approve of your choice. We all know what it means to a little girl to lose their dad's approval. And I'm here to tell you that on the other side of the world, there's little girls that are trusting Christ as Savior, and their dad says, get out. You are not my daughter anymore. Turn to Romans chapter 8. Verse 31. That little girl trusts Christ as Savior, and maybe her dad will say, you know what, whatever, that's fine, but don't you dare be baptized. That happens sometimes overseas. A little girl will come in, she's 8 or 9 years old, and she'll say, I believe in Jesus. And the dad will say, ah, sure you do. Whatever. You're just a little girl. It's a phase, but don't you dare be baptized. But she'll do it. She'll be baptized. And her dad will beat her. And her uncle will beat her. And her teacher will beat her. And her bus driver will beat her. And sometimes she'll be kicked out of the bus and she won't even be able to go to school. And the children will make fun of her at school. And she doesn't have her own Bible. She doesn't have her own Bible. She can't read it. She has the internet, but it's at home. On a single desktop computer in the living room. She can't read the Bible there. She needs her own. She needs her own copy so that she can open up to Romans 8, verse 31, and say, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him over for us all, how will he not also with him freely give us all things? Who will bring a charge against God's elect? God is the one who justifies. When my father doesn't approve of me, and my uncle doesn't approve of me, and my teacher doesn't approve of me, and my friends call me stupid, God is the one who justifies. Who is the one who condemns? Christ Jesus is he who died, yes, rather who is raised, who is at the right hand of God, who also intercedes for us. When my family has abandoned me, I know that this Lord Jesus Christ, whom I have put my trust, is seated at the right hand of God and is saying, that's my girl. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword, just as it is written, for your sake we're being put to death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered, but in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Oh, New Life Community, my heart for you is that when you are brokenhearted, you will turn to this book. You will turn to this book. And I'm challenging you today to join me and other believers to donate as much as you can so that other believers on the other side of the world, when their lives fall apart, they have their own copy of the Bible so that they can turn to this book too. Because Paul says that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we have hope. Through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scriptures, we have hope. You see, the Bible was written by persecuted Christians. The Bible was written to persecuted Christians. The Bible was written for persecuted Christians. And if you read the New Testament in the context of persecution, it makes so much sense. The book of Revelation, written by a persecuted Christian to the persecuted church. You can see that as you read the book. When the martyrs are crying out and saying, Lord, how long? How long? And Jesus says, just a little while longer. Just a little while longer, and I'm coming. Praise God. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. Why do we give Bibles? We give Bibles so that Christians would be encouraged. We give Bibles so that Christians will know the truth. Because on the other side of the world, the gospel is being preached and people are coming to Christ. But these new believers, they don't know doctrine. They don't attend New Life Community La Quinta. They haven't sat under pastors teaching for years. They don't know about the Trinity. They don't know about the deity of Christ. They don't know the gospel in all of its beautiful riches. They haven't read Ephesians. They don't know about justification and redemption and propitiation and regeneration and the perseverance of the saints and all these wonderful things that pastor teaches you Sunday after Sunday after Sunday. They trust Christ, but then the cults come in and teach them something different. And if they don't have their own Bibles, how will they recognize error? How will they recognize error? I tell my people this at Trinity, and I know Pastor tells you the same thing. Don't believe me, believe this. And we want you to be Bereans, and pastors taught you about the Bereans in Acts chapter 17 who go home and study the Scriptures to see if what pastor's saying is true. And I know pastor wants you to do that. I know he wants you to go home and study the Scriptures and say, he just taught me Romans 5, and here's his points from the outline. Is that really what Romans 5 says? And he wants you to go home and look at it and see if what Romans 5 says is what he just taught you. I want my people to do that, and pastor wants you to do that. But if you don't have your own Bible, how can you tell when you are taught error? And there's millions and millions of Christians on the other side of the world that have not been taught sound doctrine, and they don't have their own Bible. I'm not interested in making them a Baptist. I'm a Baptist. I was born a Baptist. I was raised a Baptist. I've been a Baptist for 50 years. I'm more Baptist than John the Baptist. But I'm not interested in making them a Baptist. I just want them to know the Word. How are they going to know the Word if we don't give them the Word? But that's not the main reason we give them. We don't give them the Word to make them feel better. We don't give them the Word to encourage them in tough times. We don't give them the Word to comfort them. The primary reason I give that little girl who just got kicked out of her house a Bible is not so that she'll feel better. As important as that is, the primary reason I give that girl her own Bible is so that when her dad kicks her out of the house, she will stick with Christ. That's the reason we give them Bibles. So that when they're kicked out of their homes, when they lose their job, when the man at the factory trusts Christ as Savior and his Muslim boss fires him, and he goes home to his wife and his five kids and they have nothing to eat, and the boss says, "Deny Christ and you can have your job back." The reason we give him a Bible is so that he won't. And he'll stick with Jesus. Hebrews 11:32. What more shall I say? Hebrews 11:32. Time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, putting armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. Others experienced mockings and scourging, even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were tempted. They were put to death by the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, men of whom the world was not worthy, wandering in deserts and mountains and caves and holes in the ground. And all of these, having gained approval through their faith, did not receive what was promised because God was providing something better for us, so that apart from us, they would not be made perfect. We are one body. We are one body. We're one body, New Life Community, and I'm here to tell you that right now there are women in prison in Iran who are brought before the warden of the prison, and they are told, "I will let you go today if you leave this city and do not preach about Jesus anymore." And they say, "No deal. No deal. I'm preaching about Jesus." There are men in prison right now. And what they do sometimes in Central Asia is they will bring a man in prison and they really don't want to mess around. They really don't want to keep the guy in prison for months and years. It's expensive. It's a pain. He's a pain. They don't want this. So the idea is you bring him in prison and you torture him for 10 days. And then he denies Christ and you're done. So it's intense persecution for a period of 10 days. Where you're naked. In a cold cell. You sleep on the floor. Sometimes they won't even let you lie down. And you're called before the warden and he says, "Deny Christ and I'll let you out. You can go back to work. You can go back to your job. Go back to your family. Just deny Jesus and we'll let you out." And we see that hint right here in verse 35. Women received back their dead by resurrection, and others were tortured, not accepting their release, so that they might obtain a better resurrection. I want them to be able to know that. I want them to be able to read that verse so they say, the women in the New Testament, they didn't accept their release. When they were offered this same deal to deny Jesus, they didn't do it. Christ can help me. I'm not going to do it either. And there are men right now that are called before the warden, and he says, deny Christ, I'll let you out. And they say, I'm serving Jesus more. I'm clinging to Jesus more. And I want them to do that. Will you help me? Will you give a Bible to someone who doesn't have a Bible? Will you give a Bible to a Muslim who says, I'm curious about Jesus? I've been raised in this Muslim school, and I've heard about the West and how they're so evil and the Antichrist and blah, 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 but I'm really curious about Jesus. I see my father, he's a Muslim, and he always says we've got to go here and we worship this way and Allah and Muhammad and this and that. But I see my dad, and when my mom is gone, he goes out and he gets a prostitute. He goes to the bar and he gets drunk. He beats my mom when she doesn't cook the dinner quite right. And I'm looking, and they're telling me that Jesus is terrible, but my friend has a New Testament. I want to read it too. Will you help me give a Bible to that young man who's a Muslim, but he's curious about the gospel? Will you help me give a Bible to a believer who doesn't have one? That's what the One Hope Project is all about. Will you pray with me, please? Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you that we have the Bible. Thank you that when we are going through very, very, very tough times, we can turn to the Scriptures for the one hope. And we pray, Heavenly Father, for our brothers and sisters around the world right now. We pray, Heavenly Father, that you would raise up an army of people from the United States who will sacrificially give so that everybody who wants one can have their own Bible. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you for your partnership. Trinity Baptist Church starts 2 minutes ago. So I think I'll take off if you don't mind. I love you. I love this man. Thank you for your partnership.